Welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Worship. Here's a question for you. What do you do with your tears? What do you do with your sorrows and griefs and pains? It's a very fitting topic, not only because of what's happening around the world and in your life, but also it's because we are in the season of Lent. Lent in the Christian calendar is a time in which we, the followers of Jesus Christ, we remember the suffering, the sorrows, the pain and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to focus on today. And I also want to invite you to read the call to worship responsively. It's coming to us from Isaiah chapter 53. And I want you to pay attention to how the Bible describes Jesus as man of sorrows, familiar with our pain. Let's receive the call to worship. Jesus was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Surely, he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, we come before you now, at your invitation, a broken people, living in a broken world, experiencing pain, sorrows, and suffering, and tears. But we look to Jesus first and foremost, your Son, our Lord and Savior. As we open our eyes, as we open our ears and our hearts, O Holy Spirit, lead us to Jesus. Each and every one of us, no matter where we are at on our journey of following Jesus, lead us to him in a fresh way, in an inspiring way. Because we see him, the one who takes away our tears. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. See the candles lit behind me? These candles will be extinguished one at a time during this Lenten Sundays. And all the candles will be extinguished on Good Friday service, symbolizing the darkness that Jesus had to endure. And he did that for you and me. So today, we extinguish a light, remembering and imagining what Jesus must have felt, experienced, and what he had to endure. So here's the question again. What do you do with your tears? What do you do with your sorrows and your pains and griefs? Did you know, since the pandemic, the depression rate among college students has spiked up by 90% higher than what it was pre-pandemic. I wonder if some of you have shed tears because of your mental health, wrestling with depression of some sort. What do you do with your tears? When you cry, when you weep, does it help momentarily, or does it bring about something far better permanently? The domestic violence has gone up during the pandemic, and I wonder if you have been experiencing in your marriage, things have gone from bad to worse and to the worst. And have you shed tears thinking about your husband or your spouse or your wife, wondering where it's all going to end up? The suicide rate has spiked up also. And those of you who are wrestling with this darkness in your soul, and as you shed tears, what do you do with your tears? What do you do with them? I want to tell you about Michael Finney. Michael Finney, back in 1997, February, He and his best friend, Jay, they went to a concert. On the way back, they were involved in a car wreck. Unfortunately, tragically, Jay did not survive. And Michael, ever since, that event solidified and redefined who he is. He felt he had to live two lives, one for himself and one for his best friend Jay. And that drove him. He had to accomplish twice as much. He had to do better than just for one person. He had to accomplish all these things for him and for Jay. Can you imagine the burden that he had to endure and carry? I wonder if Michael shed tears. Oh, I bet he did. I bet he did. He felt the pain and the sorrow, and he felt guilty. He felt responsible for the death of his best friend. I wonder what he did with his tears. You know what he did? He didn't know what to do with his tears. He was very angry at God. He didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He thought, if there is God, well, then he sure is responsible. And I blame him. I blame him. I blame him. And he was very, very angry with God. What do you do with your tears? Let's find out what the Bible says. I am so eager to find out what Jesus has to say to you and me as to the teardrops on our faces, the depth of our pain in our hearts, and the darkness of our soul. Can Jesus do something about them? We're going to go to the book of Psalms 126. We're just going to read two verses, verses 5 and 6. And I want to invite you to read along together with me. But before we do that, picture it. Picture it is one way of meditating on the Bible, on God's Word. Picture yourself in the reading, in the story. The imagery that you will have is that of a farmer sowing seeds and harvesting. Okay? So let's receive it together. Hear the word of the Lord, Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Let's read it together. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The theme and the goal, the big idea is this. When you sow your seeds of tears, you will harvest songs of joy. When you, as a farmer, sowing seeds, when you sow your seeds of tears, you will harvest songs of joy. And I want to unpack how you can take steps in sowing your seeds of tears. The first step is this, and please write this word in your sermon outline, which you can download from the resources tab. Number one, the first step is this. Do not waste your tears. Do not waste your tears. Think about the imagery, right? A farmer taking a sack of seeds and he is sowing them, right? And when properly sown, when properly cultivated, when properly grown, he will harvest them. Now, what this means is this. You could also sow your seeds improperly, incorrectly. And that's what I mean by wasting your tears. Do not waste your tears by sowing them improperly. Do not dump your tears. How does that sound? Every spring, without fail, I have to prepare my lawn. And one of the ways that I do that is by reseeding the grass seeds. Because after a long winter, cold winter, I go outside into the backyard, and guess what I see? Dead spots. You know what I'm talking about, right? And they drive me nuts. So I go into the garage, I take the bag of grass seeds, and I'm on my way back to the backyard, and I accidentally dump the whole seed on the driveway or on the floor of the garage. That's dumping, that's wasting the seeds. Similarly, you and I could waste our tears if we do not take the steps of sowing your seeds of tears properly, because when we do that, we shall harvest songs of joy. Maybe you can relate to this. When you were going through that painful time, you know what I'm talking about? And the sorrow was so sharp, and the darkness so thick, you couldn't fall back to sleep. So what did you do? Let me guess. You shed tears. You soaked your pillow. And after a while, you were able to have a temporary relief. You were exhausted, and you put yourself to sleep. But that's only temporary, right? It did not produce something good. You didn't harvest the songs of joy. It was just a pain. It was just sorrow. It was just hurt and agony. If you just stop there, I think Jesus might say, you are wasting your tears. Let's sow them properly. So that's the first step. Do not waste your tears. Second step in sowing your seeds is embrace your tears. Write that word. Embrace your tears. I'm not saying you should welcome it. I am saying recognize your pain, recognize your hurts, and recognize the depth and the breadth of your sorrow. I think many of us have faced at least two stumbling blocks from our desire, our need to embrace our tears. First one is this. This is more of a man thing. Have you heard real men don't cry? Have you heard, hey, we men, we have to be strong. We cannot show weakness. We have to be the rock and the anchor for our family, for our loved ones. Now, it's something in our cultural socialization, okay? And I think that is very, very unhealthy and very unbiblical. Because here's what happens. Feelings, emotions, they were given to us by God as a gift. And when they are properly handled, managed, and utilized, they will bring forth health in your life. But when we misuse them, when we abuse them, or may I say, when we suppress them, and worse yet, when we deny our reality, our pains and sufferings and sorrows, it will create much harm. In the Bible, book of Psalms and book of Isaiah, the Bible describes Jesus in this way, as you read together with me in the call to worship. A man of sorrows, familiar with pains. He was very familiar with tears. In fact, if you read the Bible closely, you see Jesus crying, even weeping, and even wailing. Let me take you to a couple of places. Number one, it is John chapter 11. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, one of his friends, Lazarus, passed away. And Jesus came to the funeral. And two sisters of Lazarus, Martha and Mary, they were crying out to Jesus, oh, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. And when Jesus heard that, he felt troubled. He was stricken. I don't think he was feeling guilty. Instead, he was feeling the weight of the sisters' sorrow and pain. And then the Bible says, when Jesus went to the place in which Lazarus was buried, the Bible says, Jesus wept. Write that word in your sermon outline. He wept. He shed tears. He didn't hide his feelings. He didn't suppress the reality of his hurt. Instead, he embraced them. He embraced them. He said, these are real. and I am going to accept them. Now, let me talk to the men in the room. Men, here's what I know. Jesus Christ, the Creator God, the Son of God, who became a man, He is the exemplary. He is the most masculine person that I know. He is stronger and powerful than any person who ever lived. He was full of resolve and full of poise. And what does he do? He wept. He weeps. Question for all of us. Have you been to funerals? You have. And if you haven't, you will. What does God do at funerals? The answer, God weeps at funerals. He feels the pain and the loss of you. So we need to embrace them. Another stumbling block for us is what keeps us from embracing our tears is some people say this, if you show emotion, if you cry because of your pain and suffering, that is a sign of lacking faith. Have you heard that before? I have. If you really had faith in God, you would not cry. If you really put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not shed tears. That is a humbug. That is absolutely wrong. That is not biblical. It is a false piety. Jesus says, embrace your tears. Let me give you another instruction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. This letter was written to the Christian church, and the Christians were suffering the loss of their loved ones because they died. And here is the instruction. Listen to this. Verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve, write that word, you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Listen to this. Jesus is saying to you, when you have a loss, when your loved ones die, he said, grieve for the loss, mourn for the loss, cry for the loss, but don't grieve like the rest of the world who have no hope. We grieve, we cry, we shed tears as those who have hope. And what's the hope? In the resurrection day, on the resurrection day. Because we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and therefore, as a firstborn among the dead, he will raise us up when he returns. So we put our hope in that. And as we wait, what do? We grieve. We don't put the upper lip and say, we deny, suppress our emotions and tears. No, we embrace them. So how do we sow our seeds of tears? One, do not waste your tears. And second step, embrace your tears. And here's what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Write the word humble. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Therefore, and when you do that, he will lift you up in due time because he cares for you. Therefore, cast all your cares, anxiety upon Jesus because he cares for you. Humble yourselves, as in, I am weak, Lord Jesus. I am not strong enough, Lord Jesus. But you are strong, you are powerful, I humble myself, meaning I recognize I am a broken person, I recognize we live in a broken world, and therefore we need someone who is more powerful than we, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. In his mighty hand, we put our trust. And he will, what? He will lift you up in due time, meaning he will turn your tears into songs of joy. So friends, once again, Jesus Christ is saying to you and me, sow your seeds of tears and harvest songs of joy. The last step in sowing seeds is this. Sow your tears in the weeper. Sow your tears in the weeper. Jesus Christ is described as what? A man of sorrows, familiar with pains, and I dare say Jesus Christ is the divine weeper. He weeps. Listen to this. In Luke chapter 19, verse 41, here's the context. Jesus is entering the city of Jerusalem because he knows that he is going to have to suffer, be crucified, dead, and then rise again. So this is called the triumphal Palm Sunday entry. As he is entering the city of Jerusalem, you know what he says? Listen to this. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Write that word. He, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator God, the Lord Himself, he wept over the people of Jerusalem. You know that word, weep there? It's a different Greek word than the word that was used at Lazarus' funeral. At Lazarus, it was a slow, quiet weeping. But here in Luke 19, as he saw the city of Jerusalem and he wept over it, this is klaio in Greek, which means to weep aloud, expressing uncontainable audible grief. So better translation is Jesus wailed. He wailed with a loud cry. And why was he doing that? Because he saw the destruction of Jerusalem. Because the people did not recognize the coming of the Messiah. And he knew that the city would be destroyed because of their sins. And what that means is for you and me, Jesus, knowing the judgment of the world, and he is looking over you, looking over me, and what's he doing? He is wailing, weeping aloud, uncontainable grief for your salvation. Right now, Jesus is weeping for you to have salvation, for you to have come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. He is the weeper. And he says to you, sow your seed of tears in my broken body, the body in which people pierced, the body that was crucified, hung on the cross. In that body, sow your seed. The blood he shed on the cross, his precious blood. He's saying, sow your seed of tears in my blood, because I took your place. I died for you so that I may remove your tears. See, friends, when we receive Christ as our Savior, and when we recognize he removed the ultimate tears upon the cross for our sake, then this will enable you to harvest songs of joy. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. What is Jesus doing right now at the right hand of God in heaven? What's he doing? He is offering prayers, supplication and petition with what? With cries and tears. Friends, you know that pain that broke your heart? He felt it. He was with you. You know that brokenness that devastated you? He knows how you feel. How does he know that? He was there in your brokenness. You are not crying alone. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is crying with you. You're not shedding your tears alone all by yourself. The Lord Jesus is shedding his divine tears with you. Sow your seed of tears in the weeper. When you do that, the promise is this: you will harvest songs of joy. Let me just offer three different ways. First one is this. For those of you who are carrying that burden of guilt like Michael, you know who you are, right? Your loved ones shed tears because of you. And as a result, you have this tremendous weight of guilt and responsibility. And you shed tears, but you didn't know what to do. Now you do. Let Jesus take your tears away. So you plant your seed of tears in the weeper. And when you do that, He will remove your guilt. He will say to you, I die for your sins. I remove your guilt. And I will make all things new again. Give your guilt to Jesus Christ. For those of you who shed tears, and because you are, and because of that, you are angry at God. You said, if I obey God, if I follow Jesus, I thought my life would be easy and happy. And yet, you experience tears. Friends, I feel your pain. But more importantly, Jesus feels your tears, right? But listen. As you fix your eyes on Jesus, the Son of God, who lived a perfect life, and if even He had to endure tears and suffering and pain for your sake and for my sake, that would remove the anger. You may not be happy with your tears, but you can say, I am not angry at Jesus anymore because He suffered more than I did. And He is carrying the burden of the world, all the sorrows, all the tears upon Himself. And thirdly, when He removes your guilt and your anger, then what's going to happen? You can be patient as you shed tears now, as you sow your seed into the weeper. You can be patient. You don't know why this is happening. It wasn't your fault. It wasn't anyone's fault. But the brokenness here is there. And that's because we live in a broken world. And one day, Jesus will change all that. Revelation chapter 21. Jesus will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Jesus promises, one day He will wipe away every tear. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. So you can be patient and wait upon Jesus' return. Let me end with Michael Finney. You know, the person I told you about, the guilt, the responsibility, and this burden he lived. He carried this burden, this bag of bricks, he called it, okay? But one day, Michael was a seeker, meaning he didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And all he knew was that something was missing in his life. There was no peace. There was no harvesting of songs of joy. It was just all burden, burden. At every anniversary of Jay's death, it became worse and worse. The turning point for Michael was this. On the 20th anniversary of Jay's death, he was invited to a small group in a local church. And the topic? Regrets. He went unwillingly. But he went because he needed something. He knew that he was missing something in his life. So he went. And he began to realize who Jesus was. And he began to realize what Jesus had done. And in his word, the more he came to Jesus, the more he listened to Jesus, and I'm going to paraphrase this, the more he sowed his tears in the weeper, Jesus Christ himself, that brick was taken out of his bag one at a time, one at a time. Each teardrop was sown in the person of Jesus. And now Michael Finney is a different person. Jesus Christ has removed his tears. And Michael is harvesting songs of joy. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, therefore we come to you. we bring our tears to you. Will you take them? And friends, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will indeed sow your seeds of tears into the broken body, into the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, by your power, by your grace, enable us to harvest songs of joy. Amen.